This Sea to Shining Sea edition of IndyCan Radio will end in Toronto with some goings on there, including taking you inside the Polaris Music Gala. We'll hear some music, we'll hear from artists, we'll hear from founder Steve Jordan. But first, we start from British Columbia, a province so nice, the only problem with living there is when you die and go to heaven, you miss British Columbia. But live at IndyCan from Kelowna, my friends and soon to be yours, the Sled Dogs.
Thank you.
you're actually our first Okanagan band on IndyCan, so you know we're breaking some new ground, and I'm glad it's you guys. Nice work.
Oh, cool.
Thank you.
So tell us, you're all from there. Did you all grow up in the Kelowna area, or did you just arrive there?
I'm the only person that was born in the Okanagan.
Okay.
And these other two.
We're prairie boys. Eric and I are both from Winnipeg area.
Okay.
Manitoba. Still have mosquito bite welts to prove
that. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Frostbite.
And when did you move to the Okanagan? And why?
Well, you know what? I guess about the same time, about 5 years ago for both of us. Why? I had a lot of music connections out in Vancouver.
Okay.
And I'd been writing for publishing and so forth, and most of my people that I knew and worked with were out there. Ironically enough, both of these guys were not in that connection, but it did work out.
Yeah, no kidding. So how did you guys hook up? How did you find each other?
I was actually working in a studio, mm-hmm. just doing some demos, and the demo became an actual Sled Dog first album.
Oh, no kidding.
I met Michael, and I liked what he was doing, and got him to do some solo guitar work on it, and it became guitar tracking and so forth, and we started taking it live, just acoustically, about 3 years ago, and he knew Eric, and I kind of remembered the name Eric Funk.
Yeah. I was saying earlier, what a great rock and roll name. Natural born drummer.
Yes. And that's where it became. We one rehearsal in the underground Apple shelter on the farm there where I live in Kelowna, and we kind of liked what was happening.
Yeah.
So we just kept building it and finding our legs and letting the music take shape, and it evolved into, well, what is Sled Dogs today.
Cool. Now, growing up in the Okanagan, like, what was the first live act you got to see? What really sort of turned you on to, hey, I'd like to be involved in the music business?
That's a good question. I think the first live show I actually went and saw was Big Sugar, actually.
Okay, great. So,
which I really liked. They're really cool. And it was just, you know, I started playing guitar when I was like 7. You know, it's a Sears catalog guitar.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, yeah, it's just a natural evolution that happens. Not necessarily like a goal that I'm going to be a guitar player. It's just, well, I can't do anything else, so I might as well do this, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I had an Eaton's guitar.
Eaton's, yeah. Those were the cheap ones. I got the Sears.
Well, we do notice, like, growing up in Winnipeg, for me, it was more like sneaking in and seeing the Tragically Hip or the Odds or something like that.
Yeah.
And those are the bands and Rush that
right.
I kind of really grew up, you know, idolizing those guys.
Well, sure, yeah, because, I mean, they do come to town, and that's a big deal.
Yeah,
everybody knows
sure.
about it, right? You know, something's happening.
And you're underage, and I think it was the Spectrum, which is now called the Pyramid, which we actually play in a couple times here in Winnipeg, and I remember sneaking in there to see the Hip play.
And you haven't been carded since you've been back?
No.
I still get carded.
Yeah.
This is Eric Funk from the Sled Dogs, and you're listening to IndyCan Radio.
Well, come by the week me up today, cause I already know the sights and sound, the touch and smell, the traces, it's a pretty world. Well, inside the window for me, well, I might be better off to cover my head, not breathe so loud. Perhaps you think I'm dead, at least for a little while. They might leave me alone. They say it's all a part of life, the structure's gone. Turn 65. I might be better off to cover my head, not breathe so
So tell me about this college gig. How did it, like, it's kind of a funky setup. It's not like your normal playing to a live audience gig.
It's different.
It's quite abnormal, in fact.
The good thing about it, well, it's actually being hooked up with our agent, who is a hypnotist as well. Triple X hypnotist. So he does his show. He's been doing it for years.
Won't even ask for the Triple X.
It's an adult-oriented show. No nudity, just, well, no, maybe some asses. But
not the band's asses, most nights. So what it is he does his show. We actually open up for him.
Yeah.
We do that. It's kind of a video. We play with our videos, our Much Music videos, two or three songs. And we play with them kind of in that sort of Letterman pit band style. It's a ride. It's fun.
Because
it's never the same. There's no prescribed method. It's just, we just wing it with Tony, and it's kind of cool. And then we finish the night off with another couple songs. So it's a 4 or 5 song performance, which seems to kind of just be enough. I mean, you got sold out audiences every night. They're turning 200-300 people away at the doors. So we can't complain.
Part of that, right?
It is.
Sure.
Yeah. You know what it's like, you know, as an indie band trying to promote your shows to get 100 or 200 people is a lot of work. And, you know, for once, we don't have to spend that time doing that. We can concentrate on other things.
And, well, you get a chance to turn people on who, you know, they didn't come there for you, and that's the cool thing about it, because you get to turn some heads.
Exactly.
Hey, this is something.
And it's been, the reception has been overwhelming. We were amazed. We didn't really know what would happen, because these people are not really here to see us.
Yeah.
Initially, there are some that are, but let's say 80% are not.
Right.
And it's been really good.
Yeah, that's well, kudos to working something like that out.
Yeah.
I mean, thinking outside of the box is, you know, part of, you know, do-it-yourself success, right?
Yeah, I think the whole entertainment industry is starting to change, that whole format. You might want to call this a little bit of that old vaudeville approach, but
yeah.
It seems to be going over a little better than seeing 3 or 4 bands playing for 45 minutes each. I don't think people are really sitting through that kind of a show anymore. I know I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't care who the bands are. No, it's just the way it is, whether it's us or anybody. It just gets a little long and stale.
Yeah. Yeah,
you have to be a real true music lover to do that, and I think it's harder. People are sort of deciding that, well, they're going to put their entertainment dollars elsewhere,
right?
Perhaps.
Yeah. So so just coming up with a new approach,
right,
a new way to package music,
exactly,
is a great idea. They were talking about that. I was at a indie expo in Montreal, and they were talking about how, I mean, you need to almost give the music away, packaged with something else interesting, and you know, just to make it exciting again.
I think record labels might start learning that soon.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Are there any left?
I don't know. The two that are left.
Yeah, under the umbrella of the 500.
Yeah.
Now, for fans who aren't following you like fanatics on your website, you do kind of a commentary of the road, or sort of a series
the
of...
The chronicles of road life. Yeah.
Yeah. Where there's road food, exercise routine,
exercise, yes.
Plumber butt. There's a few different...
It's a look at the Canadian band on the road, what it's really like out there. So we videotape and... Have fun.
Part of the whole thing with Sled Dogs is to sort of represent that hardworking Canadian, that ethic. And certainly that, we thought, well, you know, why not? Let's just show people what it's like. It's not that it hasn't been done before, but there aren't a lot of Canadian bands that have done it. And I think people need to know it's not that glamorous sleeping in a van sometimes and with 4 guys and knowing who smells instantly. And so we show everything in those videos, and it's a reality thing, but it's what it's like. And it, for some strange reason, there's this push to continue doing what you're doing, even through that, you know, and we continue to do it, and we love it.
Now, play tour guide for our listeners. Consider yourselves authorities on the BC music scene. Like,
right.
Where are the hotbeds? Where's a cool place to go and consume music? What do you like, and... What would you recommend someone has to do if they travel that way?
You know what? I think you have to get to the Lower Mainland. There are spots in the interior, but there are so few venues that will accept original music, for one thing. There are some people trying to do it. It just seems to be a real hard thing. For me personally, I like going to the island. There's the Queens, Nanaimo, yeah. clubs mm-hmm. like that. You know, the Roxy, the Cellar, all those kinds of clubs on Granville and Vancouver. They're good rooms, and that's where we kind of tend to just pick those two or three spots when we're going to go out and do something instead of trying to do 12 shows within BC. It's difficult.
Right. Just trying to find the places where you...
Find the good spots where people are going to show up and want to go to.
Yeah, they're excited about it. I find Vancouver Island kind of cool that way. I mean, they're isolated in a way, so they make their own fun, right?
Right.
And... you know, they're...
The Kootenays is like that, too.
Yeah, because they're kind of isolated, too, aren't they? Yeah. They're lost in time.
Yeah, Nelson there is a kind of a cool little town.
Castlegar, too. There were some good clubs down there, actually.
Where 1966 never stopped.
right. They're still avoiding the draft, actually. They don't even know the war's over.
Yeah, they don't know the Vietnam War's over yet. Well, thanks for coming in. Thanks for sharing your music with our listeners, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks,
hope to see you at the top.
We appreciate it. Thank you, man.
You bet.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks to IndieCan for having us in here today. This has been a really cool vibe. Thanks. Come visit us at www.sleddogs.ca or on our MySpace page. Lack of control. Yeah.
Thank you. 2007 Polaris Prize Award Gala Ceremony, and you're listening to IndieCan Radio.
New Brunswick, represent.
Yeah.
Now, I was listening to someone else asking you what your first concert experiences and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Corey Hart, sorry to hear that. But, I mean, I don't mean that, but it just, I mean, you don't get the Rolling Stones coming through town, and you don't get...
Well, we didn't back then, but we had the Rolling Stones last year.
Yes, that's right.
But back then, we weren't getting a lot of touring acts. Like, it was all indie. It was all, like, local stuff. So we had... Sorry, I didn't cut you off.
No, by all means.
But it's true, we weren't getting a lot of big names at the time. And by the time I was a preteen or teenager, I was just going to the local punk rock shows. So, like, there was a strong punk rock scene that started in the 70s in Moncton, and everyone's always been really supportive. And so when Eric Strip started, my old band,
yeah,
we were
exactly.
kind of just part of the scene because everybody knew each other. So we would do shows with heavy metal bands and punk bands, and everyone would come the whole night because it was like one show, right?
Because
there weren't
right.
that many
and
shows
everyone
happening.
Everyone was
so,
coming.
Yeah. So we were really blessed because I think it's easier to start a band in a small town and get sort of some, you know, have a nice little posse of people supporting you than it is to start in a big city, I think.
And small markets try to support you as much as they can, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm actually going to Halifax Pop Explosion for the first time ever.
Oh, great.
I'm ashamed to say.
Well, but at least you're going now. That's
absolutely.
Okay.
So what's not to miss at the Halifax Pop Explosion?
Well, the
favorite
only thing
venues
I...
or...
Well, I haven't looked at the schedule for this year. I can honestly say that the Eric Strip show that we're playing is, well, it's already sold out, I think, so, but that would be a not to miss, probably, and I think there's probably lots of great shows. One of the large venues is the Marquee, where all the bigger acts play. There's lots of great venues. I'm sure there's going to be lots of great shows, because all the organizers in Halifax are awesome.
Yeah.
And Halifax Pop Explosion has always been really fun. Like, I think I've only missed one of them.
Well, everyone who migrates to Toronto from Halifax just talks so fondly about it. Whether it's Lawrence Curry or Cam Carpenter.
Yeah.
I mean, all these people just love Halifax and can't wait to get back.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, it's great music. I mean,
there's
sort of a... I think Toronto's probably over that center of the universe complex. I mean, we still get blamed for having it, but I think we're long over it.
Yeah, I think it's
so
okay.
Much cool music coming from so many parts of Canada, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So how long are you in Toronto before you have to head out on the road? You've got like a bunch of Guelph and London.
Well, we just did a, Eric Strip just played a bunch of shows in all those cities south of Ontario, Toronto. And then I still have... I'm still playing in London, a Julie show on Wednesday, and then I'm playing it for Ladyfest on Thursday as well, on the September 27th. And then I go home for about a week, and then I go back on the road. I'm playing a bunch of shows at Pop Montreal.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, and then Eric Strip's doing four more shows in October, so, and I'm doing a tour. I have another band called Blue Healer that I play the drums in, and my friend, Dick Morello, who's playing with me here tonight on one of the guitars. we have a band where he plays guitar and I play drums, and so we're doing a tour in October as well in Ontario.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah, opening for this band from Halifax, coincidentally enough, called The Super Fantastics. So.
Yeah, oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I'll check that out. That sounds
good,
like fun. Drumming, eh?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it
so much. What's your favorite instrument?
Right now, it's the drums. I love playing drums these days, but I think for the most part, I'm most comfortable on guitar. But
is that what you write on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you're described as an experienced, confident songwriter now.
Oh, really?
That's your bio. Would you concur, or would you think, what was your publicist thinking?
I don't know. I've been around for a while. I don't know how confident or experienced. I guess experienced, because just through the force of being around for so many years, maybe. Yeah. But I don't know about that. Yeah, I guess I'm pretty confident when it's going well, but obviously everyone has those ups and downs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, welcome to the music business.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Now, this award, is it different? Is it more important than a Juno in for some artistic reason?
I think it's different and more important because just so the way it's the way that it's chosen, the way that they come up with the 10 nominees,
no
asking the critics and the asking like the journalists and stuff to genuinely give them what they think the list would be or whatever, and then they. I just, and 170 people like are asked to like offer their suggestions, you know, and then I think it's, I like the idea that it's not based on record sales and not based on like charting and stuff. It's all just, it's like, I think it's a pretty genuine, I mean, as much as far as prizes go, I think prizes are hard. It's a difficult one to sort of tackle anyway.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that it's just like people who are not necessarily getting paid by selling records and stuff. Because I have a Juno, and it didn't really change my life. But
yeah, it's amazing. I know.
But it did a little bit. Like, I get grants easier, and every once in a while a promoter will put that on the poster, like, oh, Juno Award winner.
Yeah.
And then people will come out because they read that I won a Juno. And this kind of does the same thing where, like, people are like, oh, I heard about you. You're one of the nominees. I never heard you, but I listened and I liked it. So that has happened a few times. So I think it's a good prize.
No more singing.
Butterfly, who I just saw last night in Toronto on a triple bill with Grand Theft Bus from Fredericton and also Love Machine from Ottawa. And Halifax is down with the Butterfly. We're on their way back to Fredericton to play the very next night. And many of you know what a crazy drive that is. They had their van towed. In fact, they were glad it was towed. They were afraid it was stolen, so they had a bit of a false start leaving Toronto. There's a great van story connected to the Polaris Music Awards, too. Anyhow, before that was Julie Doiron. And Julie, if you're learning drums, you might already know Jason, but what a clinic he puts on. That whole band down with the Butterfly are just great musicians. I see a lot of bands. I see a lot of great bands, and they always stand out to me. Anyhow, they're putting us up when we get to Halifax for Halifax Pop Explosion. So thanks, guys. We'll be seeing you really soon. Before that, we had a bit of a Calgary connection. We heard from Chad Van Gallen, and before that, Feist, who was originally from Calgary. If anybody remembers Placebo, we are going to hear from Steve Jordan, the founder. Find out a little bit about the history of this awards. But now for the winner, Patrick Watson from Montreal. Congratulations, this year's 2007 Polaris Music Award winners.
Father of This is Steve Jordan at the 2007 Polaris Music Prize Gala, and you're listening to IndyCan Radio.
Now, you must have thought long and hard about adding another award to, you know, sort of like a full year of awards and this and that. But you had a specific mandate in mind, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the last thing the world needs is another award show, and we didn't set out to specifically... You know, it's like, hey, we should do an award. What will we call it? You know, this has a very specific objective. It's only one award. It's to focus people on not just, you know, the artist and the music, but the album itself, like that piece of work. And I think we've succeeded.
Right. So it isn't, no one gets a prize based on a lifetime of merit. It's really just one album against another.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of it being based on strictly the artistic integrity of the music, much thought has to be given into the judging and who those judges are, because that's somewhat subjective, isn't it? So
what I would
kind
hope
of
so.
Agony do you yeah. go through sort of selecting who will judge?
I wouldn't call it agony. I actually enjoy, and that's one of the things I enjoy about doing this, is researching the people, finding people in little nooks and crannies of Canada that maybe... people didn't necessarily know about New Brunswick, for instance, or
right.
Victoria, or just you know, not the main media places. So agony, no, but hard work, yes.
Yeah. And how many albums would you have chosen from to get to the short list of those that are nominated?
Well, every single record that gets nominated gets attention to the rest of the jury. I think our total this year was like 280 titles or something like that.
Wow.
So a lot.
So anything that sort of came out qualifies, and they take a look at the entire universe and select it down to a short list.
That's correct.
Wow. Wow, that's a commitment to be one of your jurors too, then,
yes.
isn't it?
Oh, I mean, it's work for them, and I think they realize it. But I think they also appreciate that you know, they're being asked to do something and take it seriously, and they do take it seriously.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in terms
none of our jury has ever done this half-assed.
Yeah, that's fabulous. No one's doing it for the free meal.
Right.
And now there is some upside to the artists in terms of record sales seem to increase because there's a buzz about them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that why you did it? Just to give them more? I mean, money helps, right?
Yeah.
But I mean,
well, we did it because we thought
that make a living.
We did it because we thought the work needed to be recognized, and if there's a benefit beyond that, you know, we hope it's there, and we certainly do a lot of marketing and with our compilation and whatnot to try and get that to happen. But really, it's just the first and most important job is to make sure we have a mechanism for recognizing the work in a credible way.
Right. And so the actual process of choosing the winner, people are deliberating as we speak, is that right?
No. As soon as everyone clears out of here, then the table will be set up in this room, and then that's when it'll start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess everyone who's involved might already have their favorite, and they argue their case, and then they'll vote on it. Is that how it goes down?
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, anyone would be a worthy winner. I mean, it'd be an interesting process, that's for sure.
I have no predictions.
Great job.
Thank you.
Anyone who does anything to sort of help promote music in this country, it's a fabulous thing. Good work.
Thank you very much. Take care.
You bet.
This is the Black Rats and Revolution. Samurai punk feminist solution. White noise, your audio pollution. This is not a test. Calling all your slaves to the grind. Coming out your graves for the mind. Had eyes, but still you are blind. This is not a test. This struggle's justified. Their dreams are old. Their memories are lies. They're trying to blind our eyes. We should have known. There's no need to wonder why. Calling all your slaves to the grind. Coming out your graves for White noise, your audio pollution. This is not a test. MCs just wanna battle, live off the tales of the lies they tattle. I snatch they props like a baby rattle and just keep bouncing on. You can't respect it, lose it. You can't resist it, choose it. You best not go abuse it. This is not a test. I'm a more living dream. You know just what I mean. We can't pretend, you can't pretend no more. I may not know your name, but I feel you just the same. That's why we can't pretend, you can't pretend no more. Shattered hearts and broken minds. See, this is not a test. We know what your alibis bring. This is not a test.
One of the winners of this year's Toronto Independent Music Awards. Congratulations, guys. Well deserved. There's going to be more on that in coming shows. If you can't wait, go to IndieCan.com. It's all there. They were involved with the junior vice presidents, guys, we got to know a little while ago on a bill they did with the Buck Brothers from London and the Flares from Vancouver. Ann Pelt and Sunlit Ambition, all raising money for breast cancer research. Way to go. That was The Reverb, a rock breast eyeball. Anyway, let's go out with the junior vice presidents. Here you go. See you next week, everyone. In the wake of destruction and despair, find a friend you wouldn't have knew before. Lift you up, I want to scream at you. Artists from the summer room, 20 songs a year. Perhaps it's time to forget what I left behind. A mess of being made, but I still waste this time. Say, I'm moving on, bro. Already left 4 years ago. You all care.
Thanks for listening to the Toronto Indie Scene, an Indie Can Music production.
For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit indiecan.com.